Thanks for tuning in to a special episode of the Might Drop Sports Podcast. I am Mike Schneid of MightDropSports.com, flying solo on this one. This is a special episode. Zach Stein will be joining me next week for our post-Super Bowl coverage. But for today, as a 30-year New York Knicks fan, I just had to get on here and talk about the Knicks, talk about Kristaps Porzingis and everything that happened yesterday. I wanted to do this right away, and a couple of people asked me to do it right away, but it was emotional, it was a roller coaster day, and I wanted to make sure I had my thoughts in order, and now I do. I don't want to waste any time recapping, you know, the details and everything, and everyone saw the tweets and the stories, so just going to jump right into my take. This was a good trade for the Knicks. They did the right thing. Okay, there, I said it, I got that out of the way. Of course, that statement comes with strings attached, because now you have to, this is step one, or, you know, I don't know what step we're on in the process anymore, but this is just one part of a larger puzzle, and you have to see where the puzzle pieces fit. That starts in May with the NBA draft lottery, it'll continue with the draft itself in June, and then free agency, and so on and so forth. So you have to see where the Knicks go from here, but this was a really productive next step. A lot of people are criticizing the Knicks, LOL Knicks, the same old Knicks. And of course I had those thoughts yesterday right off of the bat. But here's the thing. When talking about stability or lack of stability in the Garden, if Kristaps Porzingis really was unhappy, if he really was being this dramatic, if he really was, you know, if his brother was pulling strings behind the scenes, it was the right move to get rid of him, because you don't want that type of drama when you're trying to lure guys like Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. You do want to project a sense of stability and happiness. And if he wasn't happy, and if he wasn't going to commit long term, then what was the point of having him around? The whole idea, the whole reason why I was upset at first is because it's a lot easier to sell free agents on a core that included Kristaps Porzingis. He did make the All-Star team last year, even though he didn't play in it due to the injury. So having a guy with an All-Star game on his resume like that, having a guy at 7'3" who's a unicorn, who's still improving, was supposed to be a huge selling point to free agency. But of course, that was contingent on his wanting to be in New York. So my first thought when I saw all these rumors was, I mean, he's a restricted free agent after the season. Knicks have zero incentive to get rid of him. And I was blowing up Twitter saying, why would they? They can match any offer if he's a restricted free agent, and they hold all the cards. Why would they rush into it? Of course, an hour later, they make the deal. I wouldn't have made that deal. My first thought when talking about this and trying to lay out the different options with my friend Shay Ween is I was saying that I would have been okay if, you know, if there were two or three prospects that came back and draft picks. You continue to put together a core of young players to sell these free agents on. And I was a little bit disappointed that only Dennis Smith Jr. came back in return. And honestly, I haven't watched enough of Dennis Smith Jr. to form a legitimate judgment. I know my friend Scott was there Wednesday night at the Garden and saw him triple-double. And he said despite the stats, he wasn't impressed watching him. So, you know, I don't know. I haven't seen enough. He did get a triple-double. I do wonder if the triple-double on Wednesday night influenced the Knicks in any way, shape, or form to rush into this deal. I'm okay with him being a centerpiece of a deal or a part of a deal, but the fact that the Knicks really got nothing else beyond the draft picks that are a few years down the road was disappointing. I mean, one of the draft picks is actually a middle schooler. The 2023 first-round pick will likely be a college freshman, a player who is not even in high school yet. So it's hard to think about the two first-round picks being essential to this deal because Knicks fans want to win right away. And in terms of winning right away, what the Knicks did yesterday was mind-blowing. And I think everyone needs to kind of take a deep breath and think about what they did. They traded Tim Hardaway. Bravo. $74 million contract 2 summers ago. It was on everybody's lists, Sports Illustrated, Bleacher Report, ESPN, everybody's list for the worst contract ever. And they traded him. And now, with him gone and Courtney Lee gone, Knicks have over $70 million in cap space to to actually do something. It's one thing to have the space to go after Durant or Kyrie and tell them, here, this is your team. Go play with the young guys. Now you can say, hey, Kyrie, you know, which one of your buddies do you want us to go sign? Or do you want us to go package Kevin Knox, Dennis Smith, and others and go bring in somebody? Now you have so much more flexibility. It's not all about Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. Of course, those are plan A and plan B. Whether it's one of them together or one of them, whether it's both of them together or one of them individually, those are obviously your top two options. And again, the problem with trying to bring them to New York is before you could sell them on a young core that included Kristaps Porzingis. Now you're including them on a young core that's Kevin Knox, Dennis Smith, potentially Frank Ntilikina if he's not traded, Alonzo Trier, and Mitchell Robinson. It's not as enticing, but you also have the lure of two guys. So you can say, hey, Durant, Kyrie, come here. Come here together. Or, you know, I don't want Jimmy Butler, but we heard the rumors last summer of Kyrie Irving and Jimmy Butler wanting to pair together. So there really are options. And now you don't have to worry about Porzingis being upset. Of course, the question always comes, why on earth would anybody want to come to the Knicks? And I guess there aren't a lot of selling points. It is a young core. It is one of the ways that you sell them. But the other way, Kevin Durant has received so much criticism. I think everybody on NBA Twitter hates him. I think the media has turned on him in recent years. You know, I think people are jealous and they are disappointed that he left the Thunder for the Warriors. And I think it's starting to weigh on him. If you see his body language sometimes, you see his interviews, I don't think he's that happy. Of course, winning is winning, and he's going to go down as one of the greats. I don't put an asterisk next to their championships because they still won them. And I don't believe that Durant's legacy is tainted at all. But I do believe, whether it's this summer, next summer, or a future summer, that he will work his way out of Golden State, that he will find another team. And going to the Lakers seems like a logical step, but that's no better than going to the Warriors. And I don't know what other options are out there, but I will say this about Durant. If he wants, you know, more peace of mind, more happiness, he will get it in New York. Does he get a standing ovation when he walks around Oakland or San Francisco? I mean, does everybody stop what they're doing? Are those cities really basketball cities or are they football cities? Are the Warriors really Durant's team or is it Steph Curry's? If he comes to the Knicks, if he signs with the Knicks on July 1st at 2 in the afternoon, by 2:02, there will be a golden statue of Kevin Durant in front of MSG. There will be another one in Times Square, another one in Bryant or Madison Park. Kevin Durant will be the most beloved Knick since the 70s. All due respect to Patrick Ewing, all due respect to the guys that I grew up watching. Kevin Durant will become a god in New York City. Bigger than the Yankees, bigger than Eli and the Giants after they beat the Patriots. If that's what Kevin Durant wants, I don't know what he wants. Nobody knows what he wants. But if that's what he wants, if being a god is meaningful to Durant, you know, that's how you get him. Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving left Cleveland 2 years ago for Boston because he wanted to be LeBron. He wanted to be his own man. He wanted to be a leader. He wanted to be the face of a franchise. And you know what? I'm not sure that he is in Boston. Tatum, Brown, Terry Rozier, all these young guys get a lot of publicity. Gordon Hayward gets a lot of the headlines, even though he's been terrible this year. Brad Stevens is a superstar coach. And the Celtics have always been the Celtics. You know, it's not often that there's somebody bigger than the Celtics. Even when they had Pierce, Allen, Garnett, they were the Celtics. Now you have LeBron's Lakers. You don't necessarily hear Kyrie's Celtics, is my point. They are a brand name, whereas if he came to the Knicks, you have Kyrie's Knicks. And then he gets the respect that he wants. He gets these young guys, Knox, Smith, Trier, are going to look up to Kyrie, and he gets to be a leader and a mentor in the locker room, which is what he wants. And he could bring whichever one of his little friends that he wants to. Yesterday was disappointing. because Porzingis was supposed to be part of the plan. He was supposed to be part of the cell. But now your cell is Dennis Smith, Knox, and this draft pick. They absolutely have to nail this draft pick. It has to be Zion Williamson or RJ Barrett. I don't think Ja Morant can land Kevin Durant. I don't think Ja Morant is... I think he'll be good. And again, if we had Porzingis, I think that would be a valuable piece. But Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, these guys aren't coming to New York just to play with Ja Morant. They might to come play with Zion Williamson. When you look at 2019 free agency as a whole, it is more than just those two guys. I mentioned Jimmy Butler. Klay Thompson, I don't know that he's going to leave the Warriors at all. And I don't know if he's going to leave the Warriors for the Knicks. I think the Lakers are a more viable option for him if he leaves. I would do almost anything for Kemba Walker to come to the Knicks, but I don't see him leaving Charlotte. I think he'll get like a supermax contract from them. Tobias Harris is a guy who's really interesting to me. He's having a career year, over 20 points per game. I truly believe he should have been an all-star when they announced the reserves yesterday. Chris Middleton, another guy who made the all-star team for the first time. The Knicks adding one of them as a supplemental piece to a guy like Kyrie Irving might be good. But the problem is I would have been, but now they can't be the focal point. You can't just sign Tobias Harris and Chris Middleton and call it a day because that team is a 7 or 8 seed in the East. And what was the point of all of this? So a lot of these other guys are older. I would be okay with Nikola Vucevic, who another first-year All-Star. He's having a really good year. There's a lot of older guys who don't really fit the Knicks timeline. Guys like Marcus Gasol, Al Horford as a player option. I'm not sure that those guys are, or Goran Dragic. I'm not sure that those are the guys that the Knicks are going to pursue. Tobias Harris is a guy who, he's from Long Island. He's a guy to kind of keep an eye on to me. He could be a valuable piece to this whole puzzle because he also wouldn't take the max. So you can go out and get Kyrie, Tobias Harris, and then potentially one more piece. I'm not sure, you know, who that other piece could be, but you can kind of play around and see where guys fit. Obviously, the best case scenario is always going to be Durant and Kyrie. So just to kind of, what I would have done is I would have traded Porzingis for more assets and not just had Dennis Smith as the face of the deal. That disappointed me. I did make a, I know I mentioned this before, but I wish that they had gotten more than just Dennis Smith. But this was the deal. I mean, this, you know, there was value to moving Tim Hardaway and getting the cap space. And clearly the Knicks felt that the cap space was more valuable than prospects. For the Mavericks, this is a really risky trade because Porzingis is clearly dramatic and is really no sure thing at this point. We don't know what his health is. We don't know 100% that his knee currently is fully healed or will fully heal. Assuming it does, he's still a restricted free agent at the end of the year. So you assume the Mavs will match anything, but there were rumors yesterday that he might just take the qualifying offer and go pursue unrestricted free agency in 2020. So if that's the case, Mavs might lose him for nothing. And even with him, beyond Porzingis and Luka Doncic, what do the Mavs actually have? I guess they have Tim Hardaway, which, as Knicks fans know, is not a good thing to have, not a good person to have. So Mavs' future is questionable. While those two are stars, they have those two, but only those two. They don't have their 2019 pick. It's going to the Hawks. They don't have their 2021 pick. It's going to the Knicks. So they really need to nail it in free agency and in trades. The bottom line is it's hard to judge this trade right now until you know what the next domino that falls is. To me, having Kristaps Porzingis gave hope to Knicks fans. And it made you believe that brighter days were ahead and that the Knicks would be good because they had Porzingis. Even after this trade, I still believe there's hope. I know the cap space is hypothetical. I know that you can't I know that cap space, you know, you can't buy a cap space jersey, although if you could, I guess theoretically you could because you could get a custom, and I might go do that and wear that to a game in the next week or two. But I'm still hopeful because now the Knicks do have cap space because they did shed that awful Tim Hardaway contract. And right now, Knicks fans just need anything they can to lash onto and to believe in. And I'm going to continue to believe in the tank. I'm going to continue to buy into the idea that Zion Williamson or RJ Barrett will be a New York Knick. I'm going to buy into the idea that they can lure at least one all-star player with the second one or with two or three complimentary players to join him. And that Kevin Knox and Dennis Smith have the potential to become stars. Don't be upset about Porzingis. He forced his way out. Don't be upset with the Knicks. They had no other choice. They had to portray a positive image. And this does it, whether the media tells you that or not. And I don't. One last thought is I don't want to hear any more about the booing and the Knicks fans hitting him on draft night. I wasn't happy about it. I made that very clear. But I also didn't know him well enough to judge him. People make a big deal that the Knicks boo every first-round pick, and that's because some spoiled little brat was on ESPN hysterically crying. Some kid who's never heard of Kristaps Porzingis before and just wanted 5 minutes of fame, and ESPN and all these other media outlets have been giving him those 5 minutes for 5 years now. And they use him as the face every time. Even when the Knicks took Kevin Knox, they kept showing that kid to see his reaction. Who cares what one kid who doesn't even know who Kevin Knox is, how he reacts. So I think Knicks fans should get on board with this. I think they should be happy that Porzingis is gone, that we got rid of the negativity. Positivity moving forward, and I am positive that the Knicks will add an all-star this summer and a top two draft pick. Talk to you next week. Tune into the post-Super Bowl podcast, recording it Monday night. It'll come live on Mike Drop Sports on Tuesday morning. Enjoy the Super Bowl and enjoy the NBA, the craziness of the NBA trade deadline over the next week.